Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com. Hello, you're listening to Luke's English Podcast, and I'm here with my old friend Neil. He's not that old, but he has been a friend of mine for quite a long time.
So I am actually surprisingly old, actually.
You are surprisingly old, really?
Yeah, yeah.
How old is surprisingly old?
I'm 34.
34. Not 34, then.
No, 34.
What's 34?
Similar to 34.
Okay.
But
just another way of
slightly lazy pronunciation.
So it's a lazy pronunciation of 34. So 34.
34.
Yeah, that's actually the... Ladies and gentlemen, that's actually known as the glottal stop. And it's something that native English speakers do when they pronounce the T sound in a word. For example, in the word water. Now, someone who spoke with RP would say water, right? But what would you say, Neil?
I'd say water.
Water. Water like that, like a cockney from the East End of London. Hello, Governor.
What a lot of people
I couldn't chance you for a glass of water, could I? Only I'm thirsty, I am. I'm dying of thirst over here. Is that what you'd say?
Oh, you've got an acne for my heels.
I'm absolutely dying of thirst. Anyway, so...
Yes.
What would you say, water?
I'd say waters. Water, I fell into my surname now. I would say water.
Yeah, your surname you just mentioned, that's because... What is your surname?
My surname is Waters.
Waters.
I'd suddenly give that extra pronunciation because it has extra.
You're just in
I'm 34, but it's Waters. You know?
Yeah, that's right, because you're in my presence. My perfect English is rubbing off on you. Is that fair to say? It's not really fair to say, because that suggests, ladies and gentlemen, that I think my English is better than Neil's, but that's obviously
that
not...
That suggests that anything can rub off on me. I think that's my issue. That
you're worried about things rubbing off on... Okay,
well, I don't allow any rubbing off.
Don't worry about it. The only thing that's going to be rubbing off on anyone in this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, is hopefully some English language is going to be rubbing off on you. Now, with Neil here, he's an old friend of mine. I've known him for a long time. He's definitely English. He speaks perfect English, just like any normal native speaker. Not that he is any normal native speaker. He's a very special person, and you're going to listen to him speaking English. Where are you from, Neil?
I'm from Birmingham.
Birmingham, right. Okay.
Birmingham.
So, do you have an accent?
Yeah, I do.
What's your accent?
I've got a Birmingham accent.
What's the
difference? Well, a bit of a Birmingham accent.
A bit of a Birmingham accent. What's the difference between, say, a London accent and a Birmingham accent?
Well, both... vary quite a lot.
Let's say the way I speak and the way someone from Birmingham speaks.
Well, in many senses, you are someone from Birmingham.
I am actually someone from Birmingham.
Well, you're not anymore, but you are from Birmingham, and you will always be from
Birmingham. I lived in Birmingham for half my life. Yeah.
I have a Birmingham accent, whereas you don't. But to someone else who is from Birmingham... from the centre of Birmingham.
Yeah.
Then they would say that I don't really sound like a true Birmingham.
So, okay, basically what we're dealing with here, Neil, is three levels of a Birmingham accent. Now, there's my level, and I lived in Birmingham for about 15 years. But I didn't live in Birmingham. I lived sort of 10, 15 miles away from the centre of Birmingham, more like in the countryside.
In Warwickshire.
In Warwickshire, in the countryside, actually. I'm really not from Birmingham, but I'm from that area. So the accent isn't very strong with me. And I also have lived in London for a long time, so I don't really have much of an accent. Sometimes you can hear a little bit of Birmingham coming out. It's just a little bit. Neil is kind of in the middle. He's got a bit more of a Birmingham accent. So you might say, what would you say that's different? Like, would you say Bath or Bath?
Bath.
You'd say Bath. Bath.
Yeah, there aren't many people in the Midlands, really, that would say Bath. I think once you go north of London, really, and a little bit further north, most people would say Bath. It's just generally the posh people that would say Bath, like, you know.
The posh people. Okay,
but
so...
But then I do find myself saying laugh and not laugh.
Laugh and not laugh.
Because
I think laugh is a different thing, because laugh and laugh, because there's actually a difference in the way you're pronouncing the L. If it's like the way we'd say it in the South, laugh, you don't have to make such a big L sound for the R, laugh. But when you're doing the A... because your mouth is open in a different way, when you say laugh, your L has to be even more rounded, so you go laugh.
That's true. No, but
this is a
big distinction between speaking like a posh person.
Speaking like a posh person like
or
this.
Or speaking like a dead common person. I don't know, I'm speaking exactly the same way when I say both ways.
Well,
but what I'm trying to say is it's a lot less effort to speak well. It's a lot less effort to say bath than it is to say bath.
Okay, well, maybe. No, that's not my point. I'm not saying that one is better than the other. But anyway, it's quite... what we're talking about here is the basic difference in pronunciation between someone who's from the south of England, someone from the north. And in the south, there are certain sounds that we make. Then in the north, they use a different sound. So with words like bath, grass, laugh, fast, right? We'd say those things in London here. Laugh, grass, bath, fast... And in the north, or even just somewhere north of, say, the Midlands or north of London, really, you get grass, bath, laugh, and fast, don't you?
So you do indeed.
It's a big difference there.
And if you take it even further north, you have grass, bath.
Do you?
Laugh.
Well, no, in the southwest, you have, you know, in the southwest, you'd sort of say, I'm going to go and have a bath.
Yeah, so we might have a laugh in the bath.
I'm
going to
get
some grass.
I'm going to go and get some grass, go and have a bath, and then, you know, have a bit of a laugh. You know.
Have a laughy bath grass.
It sounds like the sort of thing that they would do in Cornwall. Yeah. They probably would take some grass, have a bath, and have a laugh.
To be fair, in Cornwall, there's not a lot other than grass, laughs.
And baths.
And baths.
Or baths, as it may be.
Or for that matter... laughs and baths.
Yeah, anyway, we're confusing the matter here slightly. Okay, right, so basically Neil has got a bit of a Birmingham accent, but it's not very strong. Now, what we're going to do in this podcast, we're not just going to sit here talking nonsense. No, we're actually going to teach you something. We're going to teach you 11 phrasal verbs. Now, recently I went to the bookshop, didn't I, Neil?
Yes, you did. And in that bookshop, we found quite an interesting book on phrasal verbs.
That's right. And I purchased this book about phrasal verbs, ladies and gentlemen. And it's an extremely useful dictionary, which I think would be useful to just about anyone.
That's right.
And it's called the Cambridge Phrasal Verbs Dictionary.
Cambridge.
That's right. From Cambridge, ladies and gentlemen. And it's basically a dictionary of phrasal verbs. And so what I've done is I've opened the dictionary at page 1... right, and I've written down some of the phrasal verbs. So I've got page 1 and page 2, and I've picked out 11 phrasal verbs, and they all begin with the letter A.
A, 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 A.
That's right, the letter A, ladies and gentlemen, because it's the first letter of the alphabet. So it's the first page of the dictionary, first letter of the alphabet. 11 phrasal verbs that all begin with A. And what Neil and me are going to do, what Neil and I, sorry, are going to do, is... we're going to just have a conversation and we're going to use these 11 phrasal verbs. And what you have to do is just try and spot the phrasal verbs. 11, they all begin with A. Okay, at the end, I'll give you a list and I'll explain what those phrasal verbs mean so you can learn them, take them away and use them for yourselves. So, let's have this conversation, Neil. let's have this conversation, shall we?
Okay.
Right, so let's just
I'll
be
stop,
more...
I'll stop the thing.
No Birmingham accents.
Yeah, so what we're aiming to do is basically get through these verbs.
What you mean? What we're aiming at?
What we're aiming at is to basically get through this list of verbs in a fairly casual conversation.
Okay.
Just kind of acting them out.
Right. We're just going
to go through.
We're going to act them out.
Just kind of speaking the verbs in a casual way.
Yeah.
in a okay. conversation.
All right, what do you think we're going to do? What is this podcast going to amount to, Neil? What's it really going to amount to?
I think it's going to allow for a lot of examples of these verbs in a general conversational setting and just make them seem quite natural to the listener.
So basically these are for those learners of English who are really aching for some great bits of vocabulary which they can take away and then use in their lives. You know, I think it, and phrasal verbs really kind of account for quite a large section of what our students are trying to learn.
That's right. And I think all these verbs and all the knowledge that they take from these podcasts will eventually add up to a whole group of knowledge which is going to help them, you know, really fit in with general citizens in London.
That's right. Now, I really agree with you, Neil, there, because I think this is going to be a great opportunity you know, people to just learn some English, you know. And if you actually add up all of the bits of language that I've used in previous podcasts, you'll notice that it really does kind of combine to create quite an English package.
That's right, yeah. And I think we're going to allude to a whole host of settings and environments.
And we're certainly going to... I mean, what I was planning on doing is alluding to maybe some of the great extra content that you can expect
that's
to hear
true,
from Luke's
true,
English
yeah.
podcast in the future. I'm just alluding to that. I'm not going to tell you too much about it. So anyway, Neil, you know, that's been great. Thanks for having you as a guest on the show. You didn't act up too much.
Hey.
But it was great to have you here. So thanks very much. And that's it. We've covered the 11 phrasal verbs, all beginning with A. I think we did it quite well.
Did you spot them?
So let's see. I'm going to list those phrasal verbs for you now, and I'm going to do it in the right order, in the same order that we actually spoke them in. Here they are. So I've got the list here, and actually, if you listen to our conversation there, you will have counted actually 10 phrasal verbs beginning with A. That's because at the beginning, Neil said an extra one that wasn't on the list. That was aim to do. Is what we're gonna aim to do, right? So here's the list anyway, and it's actually 12. First one is aim to do. To aim to do something. Two is to aim at something. Like what we're aiming at is. Number three is to act out. We're going to just act things out. We're going to act out some phrasal verbs for you. Number four is... where is number four? Right here it is. To amount to something. What's this podcast going to amount to? Right? Number five is to allow for... We're going to allow for some sort of learning of different expressions, right, in this podcast. Number six, ache for, what learners of English are really aching for is Luke's English podcast. Number seven was account for, right, to account for something. Number eight was to add up to, it's really going to add up to something. Number nine was agree with, I agree with you. Number 10 is to add up all of the figures, add up all the numbers. 11 is allude to, what we're alluding to is, or I just want to allude to that. And number 12 was to act up. You didn't act up too much, right? So those are all of the phrasal verbs. And now I'm going to try and just give you some explanations about them, right, to help you understand what they mean. First of all, to aim to do something. Well, actually, that wasn't from the list. So aim to do something means that's your objective. The objective is to do something. So, you know, you might say, I'm aiming to improve my English, means my objective is to improve my English, right? So that's the first one. Second one is to aim at, and it's the same thing, really. It means what we're trying to do, what we're aiming at is a really useful podcast for learners of English. That's what we're aiming at, right? Third one was act out, right? So to act out means to perform the actions and speech of a situation or story. So for example, the children were told to act out a verse of their favorite poem, right? So it just means to kind of demonstrate them, to perform them, right? Next was four, amount to. Let's see, now I've actually got the dictionary here. To amount, I'm cheating. To amount to is to become a particular amount, right? As it says here, The cost of treating heart disease and cancer... And I'll start again. The cost of treating heart disease and cancer amounts to $100 billion a year.
Wow.
Apparently it all amounts to... So the total sum is $100 billion, so it amounts to $100 billion.
Shocking fact.
Yeah. It is a shocking fact. So that was amount to. Next is number five, to allow for. And that means to consider or include something when you're making plans or judging a situation. For example, the whole journey should take just over 5 hours. That's allowing for delays. Or even allowing for exaggeration. These reports of human suffering are an appalling tale. For example, right? What was that? That was allow for, yeah. So next, I think it's number six. Where's number six? Ache for. Oh, that's a good one, isn't it, Neil?
Oh, we like aching.
We like that. Aching, we like. I like my fans to be aching for this podcast.
I wanted to have ache for.
I used ache for. To ache for, that means to want something or to want someone very much. Right. Okay. He lay awake, his whole body aching for sleep. It's quite sort of emphatic language, isn't it? I wouldn't say that though, Neil. I wouldn't say, oh, you know what, Neil, I was so tired yesterday, I lay in bed and my whole body was aching for sleep. I don't think I'd say that.
No. I would ache because my body actually physically aches. I would never use the expression, I ache for you.
I ache for a cup of tea. It's a bit sort of...
No, it's a little bit kind of Duncan.
It is a bit Mr. Duncan, yeah. So it's an ache for. Next, number seven, and that's to account for. Account for, which is a nice expression. And to account for means to explain the reason for something or the cause of something. For example, can you account for your absence last Friday? Or, she was unable to account for over $5,000, which means she could not explain where the money was. So she couldn't account for it. She couldn't explain it, right?
I didn't believe a word.
Oh, I didn't believe it either. No, I didn't. Next is add up to. You know, what does it add up to? So this means to become a particular amount. The various building programs add up to several thousand new homes.
For example. That's interesting.
Yeah. So it just means to become a particular amount. That's add up to. And to add up, which I think was number 10. So number 9, we've got agree with. We all know what agree with is, of course. I'm sure everyone knows that.
I agree with you that everyone would know what that means.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. It means if new situations or conditions... Whoa. Well, this is interesting. That's slightly old-fashioned. Agree... No, that's not what it means. Agree with just means to have the same opinion, right?
Yes.
You agree with someone, you have the same opinion. For example, I agree with you. I think that the Conservative Party were just the right people to get the job. And I think that David Cameron is doing an exceptional job. And I agree with 99% of what he has to say. There's just 1% that I think is absolute nonsense. But 99% of it I completely agree with.
Yes, yes. Or, a little bit more simply, I agree with you that cheese is nicer than ham.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right.
As opposed to ham being nicer than cheese.
Which is not the case. Cheese.
Which I disagree with.
Right, okay. Very good. Now next is number 10, that's add up. Ooh, add up. Now that sounds similar to add up to. And you'd be right, because it is virtually the same thing. To add up means to calculate or total. Sorry, calculate the total of two or more numbers. If you add up those four figures, it comes to over £500. Right, so just to add up, calculate the total of two numbers.
Not necessarily numbers.
It doesn't have to be numbers.
It could be things.
Yeah.
Add up a number of facts.
Yeah, the facts just don't add up, Neil.
Yeah. Sometimes they do, though.
Yeah, you find that in a murder investigation, the cop would say, I think that Neil Waters is our prime suspect. The facts just don't add up.
Well, the facts do add up. Calculate them.
Right, okay. So if you say that the facts don't add up, it means they don't make sense. right? Basically, well, there's something wrong. The facts don't quite make sense. Number 11 was allude to, and that's to mention something or someone in an indirect way. So she mentioned some trouble that she'd had at home, and I guessed she was alluding to her son, right? Or, so what is the dark secret alluded to in the title of Wellbrock's latest novel? Yeah, it sounds kind of spooky. If you allude to something, you just mention it, but you don't say it directly. It's quite commonly used. It's like, did she say anything about the wedding? Well, you know, she kind of alluded to it. You know, so you would say that, I reckon. And then finally, number 12, we had act up. And if someone acts up, it means they kind of misbehave, right? So usually a child, if a child misbehaves or does something bad, they act up. And I'm sure you'll agree that during this podcast, Neil didn't really act up too much.
Oh, I thought I was very well behaved.
He was very well behaved in a Birmingham accent. right, so that's it. There is one thing about the Birmingham accent that I always realise whenever I travel to Birmingham on the train.
Aye.
I go on the Chiltern line, mm-hmm. right? And half the journey, you've got a driver from London. And yeah. The other half, you've got a driver from Birmingham. And the driver from London goes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Chiltern line, which is the Chiltern line service, which is running from here, London Marylebone Station, to Birmingham Snowhill, calling at a few stations, right? And then you get to about Leamington Spa, which is on the edge of Birmingham, and they change the driver, and you get a driver from Birmingham, and he says, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome aboard the Chiltern line train. This is a Chiltern line service to Birmingham Snowhill, calling at Dorridge, Widney Manor, Sowley Hull, and Birmingham Snow Hill. Right? So you don't get, it's not Birmingham Snow Hill, but Birmingham Snow Hill. So we're going to get the train, and then we're going to get off the train at Birmingham Snow Hill. It's great, it's an absolutely brilliant station. So that's your Birmingham accent. Yeah. Okay, that's the end of this podcast. Thanks, Neil. Thanks for coming. There's a Birmingham football fan. Thanks to you for listening. It's been a great podcast. I'm sure you've enjoyed it very much. That's all for now. Bye. Thanks for listening. Remember, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Audioboo, I'm on iTunes, I'm on YouTube, I'm on everything. Check it out.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.